Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. The second hour of Oilers Now. Brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. They wish you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. All right. The next half hour, we've not done this for a while, and we've had people text and call in and say, you never do call-in segments anymore. Well, part of it is, frankly, I'm working out of the house. So there's a little bit of a communication issue at times if things go wrong. But we're going to open up our phone lines on our River Cree Resort Casino hotline, 780-496-0063. And you can text us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. Same number, 780-496-0063. Ashley Fine Floors, providing winning results for over 35 years. Here is the topic. As it stands right now, are the Edmonton Oilers better, the same, or worse than they were when they finished up losing to Chicago in four games in the playoffs play-in series? Again, you can call in on River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, 780-496-0063. The Oilers have the same goaltending. For many of you, that's a concern. The Oilers have lost Oscar Klefbom. They've replaced him with Tyson Barrie. Some of you are not the biggest believers in Barrie's. Others think that maybe Klefbom isn't as good as some people think. I think Barrie's better defensively than some people think, better 5-on-5 player. I think he's going to provide a different dynamic than Oscar Klefbom. I think it's going to be hard to replace Oscar Klefbom at 25 minutes per game. I will tell you that I think the Oilers are better at forward and more capable of playing a 5-on-5 game. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Cactus Jack texts the show to say, Bob, you're going to need a drink at 2:05 today if you're taking calls. We have lots of really smart people that call into the show and text into the show and know their stuff. So we'll see whether or not they jump aboard here and get on with it. But first, we're going to go to our, again, the number 496-0063. Chris the Plumber has texted the show to say, Bob, I would take Mike Zanier's comments with a grain of salt. If I remember correctly, Mike said that Joel Pearson would do extremely well in the NHL. And we all know how that worked out. I respect Mike's reports on players, but will also be skeptical from Chris the Plumber. And again, Mike Zanier saying today he thinks that Broberg translates to a 4-5 NHL defense. But I got to tell you right now, the organization's hopes are that the ceiling is much higher than that. Greg in Red Deer says, better, Bob. The Oilers have a better team right now than they had when they finished up last year losing the series to Chicago. Again, you can reach us, River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, 780-496-0063. We drop the puck with Michael on line one. Michael, how we doing? Michael, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go for it.
Okay. Yeah, so I think the Oilers are moderately better, like a little better. The thing is, I thought they had a really good season last year, and with the power play and penalty kill was outstanding. So it's going to be hard to beat that, but I think they've improved their team, especially on the offensive side. So
yep.
The playoffs are more of a blip, so...
Well, and that's, that's the thing. Do you overreact? Like, if you run a small business... If you have a bad month, do you sit there and write off what you're doing in your business when the other 11 months were pretty good during the course of the year? Do you sit there and try to figure out what's like? And full disclosure here, I used to say to Craig McTavish, and it was ironic because in the 05-06 season, the Oilers had incredible swings during that year. Like, they had, like, a six-game winning streak and a five-game losing streak right out of the gate. And I used to say the best thing for talk radio and sports is great, you know, great stretches of wins and then bad, and then a bunch of losses in a row. And we get a little bit as a result. There's a little bit of sort of up and down during the course of the year that gets magnified. But I'm with you. I look at the overall body of work with the team last year. I like what I saw. I think they've improved their 5-on-5 play.
Yeah, like you said, and kind of what you're saying, it's more of a recency bias, right? Like, you're only thinking of what they did to us, but what they've done most recently, which was in the playoffs, right?
Right.
Or the play-in series. So.
100%. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Bob, can I just mention one more thing about the podcast? I usually only get to listen during the podcast, but you have the ad during the podcast, and it's really loud. Like, it's
okay.
The podcast is like normal volume, and then your ad comes in, and, like, this podcast brought to you and it just blows my speakers.
All right, you know what? we'll find a way to get somebody on chorus on that. I have absolutely no idea how that works, other than the fact that I will tell you that Cactus Jack is a guy that told me 4 years ago, before Chorus knew how powerful those podcasts would be, how popular that podcast actually was. So I appreciate that you took the time, and we can always look to improve. Thanks a lot, Michael, okay?
Thanks, Bob. Bye.
You bet. Let's go to Ken on line number two. He wants to talk a bit about Howie Meeker. Go for it, Ken. Ken, are you there? Going once. Brendan, do we have Ken transferred in? Ken, can you hear me? Sounds like we're still on the same line. Is that Ken? Ken, you there? All right, Ken, how are you doing?
Great, great. Long-time listener, long-time hockey fan.
Okay.
But when I we loved Howie Meeker back in the day.
Yep.
But I remember after that Summit series there.
Yes.
We were all laughing. We thought we'd just slaughter the Russians. But after that, when they beat us 8-2 or 7-2 in Quebec City, Howie was ranting on Hockey Night in Canada about how Canadians can't give a pass, we can't receive a pass, we lack skills, and that was the beginning of he spurred us on to all the skills camps, and so yeah. That was a great.
Yeah, they lost game one Summit Series, as you know, was in Montreal. And
Quebec City.
No, it was in Montreal. It was in Montreal. But anyhow, the bottom line is Harlamov scored two unbelievable goals in that game. The Team Canada won the second game in Toronto. They tied in Winnipeg, and then they lost in Vancouver. Yeah. And all hell broke loose after the game in Vancouver, and that's when Esposito did the speech.
Yeah.
Meeker, a lot of people thought Meeker was being a contrarian, but he was true to his values. He wanted to emphasize skill. I'm going to tell you, the major reason why Canada right now, best on best in the world, it's not close. Canada, because they've emphasized skill, like who else can roll out McDavid, Crosby, and MacKinnon as top three center options and being supported by players like Jonathan Toews and Patrice Bergeron, right? Like, Canada has, we've got the most skill of any country in the world right now, and part of the genesis of that was the embarrassment of what happened early in that series in 72. Absolutely.
Right.
All right, thanks a lot, okay?
Hey, just a sec. Like, I grew up in Nanaimo, B.C., and in 1960, the Nanaimo Intermediates were playing Lacombe Rockets in a hockey series.
Yep.
And they brought in a ringer, and I was always wondering if that was Mark Messier's father, because we were all yelling, butcher, oh, butcher, butcher.
Oh, wow. I'll have to look. They're scared of him?
Bleeding.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll check for it. I'm not sure if Doug Messier played on that team in 19. I thought when you're talking in the 1960s, you might drop a Seth Martin on me as well, but that's a whole other time for
Seth
another
Martin.
Place.
Yeah, he was with Trail Smokies.
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
I got a great memory on hockey. I could name that whole team. I was a Vancouver Sun paperboy then.
And we won't hold that again. We won't hold that against you. Thanks for listening to the show, okay, Ken? Thanks a lot, man.
Oh, you bet.
All right, let's go to Mark on line number three. Mark, you're in Oilers Now. How you doing, Mark?
Doing great, Bob. How are you?
Good.
Good. No, I just wanted to comment. I mean, obviously your question, of course, Edmonton is better than they were at the end of last season.
You think
so? Oh, absolutely. But I don't want to get into that right at the moment. What I want to get into is Mark Spector's comments and some of the false equivalencies that he was drawing. And when you're sitting there and you're comparing a Chicago club which arguably, as you had said when Detroit faced Edmonton back in 2006, Chicago was all wrong for Edmonton. Where I was excited about the Chicago-Edmonton series is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Edmonton lost to them twice last year in the season and Edmonton beat them once.
Yes.
But they were all wrong for them. They had the experience. Obviously, that played through in this series where he's talking about, well, you know, is Mark Crawford a better goaltender than...
Crawford. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Corey Crawford. Yeah. Different guy. And you're looking at that, and you're like, well, that'd be like saying, well, is Sidney Crosby a better player than Connor McDavid? I mean, yeah, Sidney Crosby's around longer, and he's had more cup wins, so yeah, he's a better player. That's totally ridiculous. I mean, you can't sit there and make those kind of statements and say, well, you know, arguably, you know, the goaltending was better because of past, you know, how he was in the past. Would I say they're very similar goaltenders now?
I would say they were very. Look, the bottom line, if you take a look at it, it's a short series. They lost 2 one-goal games. Yes, they blew a lead in game, I think it was game three of that play-in series. They had an opportunity to win both games. They played a team with championship pedigree at the top of the food chain that had nothing to lose. And the Oilers got a little bit unlucky. And luck is a factor in hockey. And people don't, like, I'm not convinced, like, the Oilers won the 1990 Stanley Cup Championship against Boston. Boston, if I recall correctly, was the better regular season team. But the Oilers got the jump on them, and if they lose game one of that series, maybe it goes, it's so tight. That's why I keep up with Mark, with Spector. I keep circling back to 2017. Because he's like, well, the Oilers are, they're not built heavy enough now. And I'm like, Mark, they had a heavy team in 2017 against Anaheim. And they lost 3 one-goal games, and Lucic, Nugent, Hopkins, and Eberle were their second line. They didn't score an even-strength goal. If they score an even-strength goal in any one of those three games, the Oilers win the series. Right? You know what I'm saying, Mark?
Absolutely.
Like, you got, like, to me, you got to, I love having this debate with Spector. Like, I don't like blaming McDavid and Draisaitl for the failure of the team in this year's playoffs. I can't accept that. Like in the play-in series against Chicago, to me that is dubious. But he's entitled to his opinion, right?
Oh, that's he's absolutely the thing. Entitled to his opinion. But I mean, you can't sit there and draw those comparisons and say that the player in the past is the same player that was here now. And that's the thing that, you know, that gets me, because otherwise, well, yeah, any player with any experience is going to be perceived as being better than any player without experience or any player with less experience. And yeah. And that's where I get kind of irritated by it. I mean, the reality of it is, could they have fixed their goaltending? Of course they could have. But at what cost?
Right.
You know, and that's what Ken Holland has done with this club, is that he has provided now excellent experience, but he's done it at value. And what that allows you to do is make moves at the deadline. I mean, if you're always up against the cap, you really, for the most part, can't do anything.
Well, they technically are up against it. Again, here's the thing. 3.9 times 2 years for Crawford, 3.6 times 2 years for Grice, or 1.5 on Smith, and we'll see where that goes during the course of the year. Maybe another mechanism or window opens up and you can go down a different path if he doesn't have it. And oh, by the way, you have Barry, and you've added, you know, Turris and Cahoon. So you've changed the complexion of your team out. You got greater depth at forward, a different dimension on defense. But for the listeners that say Stauffer, the goaltending's not better, you're right. It's the same. It's
the goaltending is exactly the same, but did that cost us getting into the play-in round? It cost us in the play-in round, but I would argue it was our defense that cost us the play-in round.
All right. Awesome stuff. Thanks for the call. Okay, Mark? Take care.
Thanks, Bob.
You bet. 780-496-0063. We'll go to another couple calls here, but first I want to get to a text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Haji says, Bob, I think I'm in the minority. However, I think we will see an improved defense this year with Baron Jones making progressive strides. Forward depth, in my opinion, is better, says Haji, with the potential to be substantially better. Goaltending will be a wash. At best, we are better, and contrary to Spector, I don't see the Oilers being softer, from Haji. I got to tell you, I don't think it matters as much today. Like, it's certainly not in the regular season. Yes, in the playoffs, but let's see what changes get made during the course of the season. I'm not sure the defense will be better. It'll be different. My hope is the Oilers spend less time in their defensive zone because they got more guys that can make plays. That's my own personal perception. It doesn't mean I'm right. Lars is up next. Hi, Lars. How you doing?
More importantly, how are you?
I'm all right. I certainly, you know, I like to laugh, so I got a good chuckle out of watching Dave Chappelle on Saturday night. I thought that was outstanding.
Yeah, he was good. I enjoyed it as well. That was very funny. I think the Oilers are marginally better.
Yeah.
I think that they are just, you know, a little stronger forward, a little stronger defense. Goaltending hasn't changed. I had, like, two questions that I don't know the answer to. One, in past, like, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, did the second power play unit play more minutes than they do in today's game?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, when you see, I mean, our power play was fantastic last year, but when I see, they're like, oh, the second power play unit is stronger, it's like, they don't play.
It depends, like, you know, part of it depends on the makeup. Like, think of what Edmonton has with their first unit. They've got two absolute thoroughbreds, McDavid and Draisaitl, right? Those are two of the five best players in the world. And then the other guy in the 1-3-1, in the three. So McDavid and Draisaitl are part of that, you know, the three across the middle there. One guy in each half board, and then Draisaitl plays that middle bumper role. The other guy of that three, Nugent Hopkins, is not an elite 5-on-5 player, but is an elite special teams player. And so that's part, when you have talent like that, like, you know what, you know, I'm going in a year, you know, I've just wrapped up year 12 of doing the Oilers, okay? I would assert to you that in 08, 09, and 2009, 2010, Edmonton had no choice but to play balanced power play minutes between their first and second units because they didn't have the high-end skills with the forwards. They actually had pretty good defense in 08, 09. They had four guys with 30-plus points. This group is different because it's so top-heavy. So I think part of it is based on personnel, but I do think that I think organizations have moved to playing their elite guys more, knowing how to use commercial timeouts in games also is a factor, Lars. Like, yeah, you get a break under 13, a break under 10, and a break under 6, right? So yeah, that buys an extra breather for you guys and allows coaches. Like, I could see a scenario, hypothetically, since they value Jujhar Khaira's penalty killing, I could see a scenario where Khaira may end up starting the season ahead of Gaetan Haas and maybe centering, for the sake of argument, Chiasson and James Neal. But then sometimes Khaira doesn't play the 5-on-5 minutes at center with those two guys, and instead they slide McDavid or Draisaitl in there because they've got those thoroughbreds that can do that. So there's another illustration of the minutes.
That's exactly what I'm like. I don't remember that the second power play unit playing 25 seconds of power play, and the TV timeouts make sense. And one of my favorite quotes about the Beatles, and this will be my last question, but was when asked, John Lennon was asked, do you think that Ringo Starr is the best drummer in the world? Famously, John Lennon's reply was, he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles. And when I think about people saying Draisaitl's the best player in the world, I am so grateful to have that guy on our team. But the level of talent that played with Connor McDavid in relation to the level of talent that played with Draisaitl over the past 2 years, Connor McDavid would have run away with, he carries his line so much. Do you see, if you had to choose right now to keep Nugent Hopkins and Yamamoto with Draisaitl, or put one of those guys with McDavid and mix things up, what would you do as a coach?
Well, there's no question 5-on-5. The team took off after December 31st, because I think it was technically the game after the Rangers game where they put Nugent Hopkins and Yamamoto with Draisaitl. But the reaction of fans, the number one question I got from the fans after they were eliminated by Chicago is, why did it take Dave Tippett until the final 8 minutes? Why did it take Dave Tippett the final 8 minutes to reunite Nugent Hopkins with Draisaitl and Yamamoto? I got to tell you, to start, I think Nugent Hopkins is going to be with McDavid, and I think Cahoon is going to be with Draisaitl and Yamamoto.
Yeah, that's what I think, because the chemistry they had growing up.
Yep. So thanks for the call, Lars. Take care, man.
My pleasure. Yeah, you too.
124 in Edmonton. You can text us at 780-496-0063 on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. AJ says, hey, Bob, the Oilers are undeniably better after the offseason moves. Better depth on the bottom six, true number three center in Kyle Turris, and internal growth of the defense should have them back in the playoffs. I felt they lost the coaching battle to Chicago, breaking up the best line in hockey, starting the wrong goalie, not isolating the Hawks' inexperience versus the top dog from the Oilers. Not saying the coaching is bad in any stretch. You just can't win them all, from AJ. We'll take a quick timeout. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, I'm Darnell Nurse from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
It is 127 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. Back into a little bit of interactive. This texter comes in saying, I don't agree with the texter on the level of talent that has played with McDavid. I believe McDavid is harder to play with than Draisaitl, says Drew. I'd say they're different. I think that Connor probably has the, like, you look at Sidney Crosby and what happened with Pittsburgh, and he had, who were the two guys that he had in his wing in Pittsburgh? Listeners will remember this. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Max Talbot was one of the guys that he had on his wing for a while in Pittsburgh and was quite successful. And I, like, you know, McDavid's had Cassian on his wing. I don't think Zach's an elite top six forward. Clearly Drysdale took off with Yamamoto, who some of us believed in all along, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Put it this way, whatever line Nugent-Hopkins goes to between McDavid or Draisaitl, that's the Oilers' number one line, because he's the next best forward. It's kind of that simple to me. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Again, you can text us. Hey, Bob. I think, Bob, this is I heard some of the comments directed back at you regarding in the first hour about the U.S. election. And Ken says, Bob, everybody is entitled to their own opinion as long as they agree with me. Thanks, everybody who's texted you about the U.S. election. I used to say that when I was in university. You'd come across the people. Yeah. And they would, you know, as long as you agreed with them, you were all good. But the moment you didn't agree with them, you were a dummy. And in my case, I have made the occasional dumb decision in my life. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Adam says, Bob, the team all around will be much better functioning team. Less chaos in both ends of the ice, better balance. The forwards are better set up to help the back end, from Adam. Adam, I 100% agree with you. 129 in Edmonton. Reed Wilkins is coming up from Inside Sports, but not before we head off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.